up, and David's going to read our word from James chapter 3.
Good morning, church. Please join me in reading the word of the Lord. We'll be in James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness, for we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits in the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire! And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and setting on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed, and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse the people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. This is the word of God.
Thank you, David, for reading the word. You know, I heard a story of a lady who went to the grocery store and she wanted to buy a half head of lettuce. So she goes to the guy in produce and she says, "Hey, I need to buy a half head of lettuce." And he said, "Ma'am, God makes lettuce in whole heads. That's how we sell them." She said, "You mean all the times I've been shopping here, you won't sell me a half head of lettuce?" So the manager, he got frustrated, or the produce manager, he got frustrated. "I need to go ask my manager." So he goes to the front of the store, he hustles up, and he says, "Hey man, there's this crazy lady, half-baked back here. She's off her rocker. She wants to buy a half head of lettuce." So he sees the manager gesture and turns around, notice that the woman has followed him to the front of the store, hears every word he says, and he says, "And this nice lady would like to buy the other half." You know, then the manager found him later in the day and said, "Man, that was some of the quickest thinking on your feet I've ever seen. Where did you learn to do that?" He said, "Well, you see, I'm from Michigan. If you know anything about Michigan," he said, "Michigan's known for two things, good hockey teams and ugly women." And he said, "Well, my wife's from Michigan." He said, "And what hockey team did she play for?" You know, and that's a joke if you're from Michigan, okay? I wanted to use Alabama, but they don't play hockey in Alabama. But they do play football. I know. So, our tongues, they tend to get us in trouble. Our tongues tend to get us in places that we don't need to be, right? I mean, we can get out of trouble. I know that is definitely my case. Honestly, as I said, I love this passage. I love it because it's God's word. So I love all of God's word, but I hate this passage, right? I hate it because it gets all of my business. Matter of fact, I thought about just putting a mirror right here and saying, I'm going to preach to myself. Y'all listen if you want, okay? Because this message is just all about me. I mean, man, this is something that I struggle with. My tongue gets out of its cage so many times. And, Abe Lincoln once said, "I'd rather remain silent and be thought of as a fool than speak up and remove all doubt," right? Well, that's sort of like me. I can relate to that. And one of the greatest favors you can ever do yourself is tame your tongue. And that's our bottom line today. That's what we want to talk about. But then there's a twist that I'm going to come back to that in the end. All right. Let me read Proverbs 21 and 23. Proverbs 21, 23. It says this: "Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles." Wow. Whoever guards his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from troubles, or keeps himself out of trouble. But man, that right there is some of the greatest wisdom from the book of Proverbs that you will ever learn. I have 3 points to help you get your mind around this and help you hang on to it and remember it throughout the week and hopefully for your life to come. One, there's power in the tongue. Two, the poison in the tongue, and three, the potential with the tongue. All right, so let's dive into number one and talk about the power of the tongue. James chapter 3, verse 5, James said, "So also the tongue is a small member," it's just small, "but yet it boasts great things." The tongue is small, but folks, it is a powerful, powerful part of your body. Probably the most powerful, not your quadriceps, not your biceps, it's the tongue, right? Now think about your phone for a moment. If you're a man, you probably carry your phone in your pocket. If you're a woman, you probably carry it in your purse. And think about it, we carry in our pocket, our phone. It's so small, we put it in our pocket, yet it has amazing power. Making calls is probably one of the simplest things that your phone does. As powerful as that is, and something so small, it's one of the simplest things it does. It also allows you to video chat. I can use my phone, I can video chat with someone on the other side of the world in a matter of a second. When I go home, it can unlock my door. It turns my lights on and off. It remotely controls my TV. It is my alarm that wakes me up in the morning. It is my camera, and it holds all, it's my photo library. No, I mean, man, you know, when's the last time you saw a photo album, right? It's your photo library. It's the library that contains all of my books. I mean, man, it measures how many steps I take per day. It measures how much I sleep at night. It measures my heart rate. If I go into AFib, man, you'd think by now that'd come up with an app to at least mute your kids, right? But they haven't yet. I mean, this phone is powerful. It's that small, yet it's so powerful. Now, that's one word picture that I give you today. James gave us three. He gave us three to remind us of the power of our tongue. He gave us a word picture of a horse, of a ship, and of a forest fire. Now, let me talk about those for a moment just to help you get your mind around the power of the tongue. Think about a horse for a moment. I know some of you, maybe you've seen them on TV. You've maybe never ridden a horse. I grew up riding a horse on the daily because I grew up on a farm. I grew up on my papa's farm. We had all the animals. We had all the farm work, and I rode horses daily. And man, I love horses. I love the smell of a horse. I love the saddle. I love the smell of a saddle. I love everything about a horse. And here's the thing about a horse. They're beautiful. They're majestic. They're powerful, and they are massive. Did you know an average horse weighs in at an average of 1,100 pounds? That's a massive animal that could absolutely destroy you, right? You get on the back of a horse and that thing could run off with you and you'd never be found again. But the reality is as something as massive as a horse is controlled with something as small as a little bit in its mouth. That's just amazing, isn't it? That's the power of that little bit. He talks about a rudder on a ship. Think about the massive, and in James's day, we're talking about the ships in James's day compared to even the ships now. Think about how massive ships are. Think about aircraft carriers, floating cities. I mean, they're massive. The USS Eisenhower is one of the largest. It is 1,100 feet long. It's 250 feet high. It's controlled by 280,000 horsepower nuclear engine. I mean, it is massive. It can hold 100 aircraft on the deck, and it holds over 6,100 sailors. It's a floating city. Yet it's controlled by a rudder that's 0.1% of the size of the entire ship. I mean, amazing power in a small rudder to control something so massive. And then he talks about the power of a spark. Think about how powerful a spark is, right? I mean, in 2018, near Redding, California, always forest fires in Redding, California, right? I mean, for multiple reasons, but there's always fires in California. And in Redding, in 2018, there was a truck driving down the road near Redding, and it was pulling a trailer. And the trailer's tire blew. And when the trailer's tire blew, it shredded and the rim hit the pavement, creating a spark that immediately hit the vegetation on the side of the road. It was so dry that it just blazed immediately. And it roared so powerful that it ended up burning for 5 weeks. It burned 229,000 acres, 1,600 structures, and evacuated 39,000 people. That's the power of a spark. Now, James uses all these because they would have said, yeah, a spark can create a massive fire. Yeah, a bit and a bridle of a horse. I mean, in the mouth of a horse. I mean, a rudder. He says all these things are powerful, but they're nowhere near as powerful as your tongue. Your tongue is a powerful, powerful thing. And, you know, it's like a small spark. Like a small spark, it can warm the lives of others or it can burn down your life. Just like a bit in the mouth of a horse or just like a rudder on a ship, it will steer your relationships, it will steer your marriage, it will steer your family, it will steer our nation, it will steer your lives. That's how powerful our tongues are. They say that our tongue weighs less than half of 1% of our body weight. Now, I haven't found a pain-free way to verify that, so I'll take their word for it, right? But here's what we know. The tongue is powerful. It's powerful, and it has power for good and bad. It has great, great, great potential, but it also can spew great poison and do great harm. And so let's look at the second point is the poison in tongue. We all know how powerful our tongue is because we've been on the receiving end of that, and we've seen how our words can cause great damage and great encouragement. But so let's talk about the poison, the damage that they can cause, the poison in the tongue. In verse 8, James said, our tongue is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Wow, that's a way to describe our tongues, isn't it? A restless evil full of deadly poison. Poison. Now, there are many ways that our tongues spew poison. I mean, there are numerous ways. I can call each of us up and we can give a word to how we've been spewed poison by someone else's tongue, but there's many ways we can spew poison. James hits, one of the first things he hits is, he hits preachers and teachers, to be quite honest. He hits those who preach God's word, and he's talking about the preacher when he talks about the teachers, those who hit God's word and how we can spew poison by misinterpreting God's word or by teaching something that's not there or not teaching everything that is there with our tongues that spews poison. It's back in James's day, it was so important because literacy was only at about 10 to 15%. And so if literacy was at 10 to 15% and they couldn't read, now not only could they not necessarily, most of the world couldn't read, but they didn't even have a Bible in their home because it wasn't printed yet. They had a Bible per village maybe, and it was in the Torah room. And so they didn't have a Bible, nor if they had it, maybe could they read it. The preacher's job, so to speak, the rabbi, was very, very, very important because they spoke the word to the people. And so what James is saying is be very, very careful when you teach the word of God. You only want to say what it says, right? My prayer every week is, God, please help me. Help me to preach God's word to God's people in God's power for God's glory. Help me to preach God's word to God's people in God's power for God's glory. Help me to not say anything that's not there and to say only what is there, to always preach what's there and never say what's not. That's my prayer every week. Now, folks, that right there is not gonna make me too popular. It's not a way to popularity. It's not a way to grow a really big church really fast, to be quite honest. In 2025. That's not the way, but I'm committed to that. Why? Because James says that God will judge teachers, preachers stricter, on a stricter level than anyone else. And we should be, because that's the importance of the word. And it's not just talking about preachers there, really. I mean, it's specifically talking to preachers, but the principle would apply to anyone as we talk about God's word, not just in teaching our small groups and teaching our classes and all that, but what we say to people about God's word. It's either poisonous or it's powerful in adding life to their life. So we need to be careful. And I, as I said, I pray every week, God, please help me to only say what's here. Help me. And here's what I know. And yet every week I go home and I say almost, why in the world did you say that? Right? I'm like, why did you say that? Because, you know, I have this tendency to say stupid things. right? And you know that. I mean, man, my mouth opens and my foot instinctively goes in it. That's my problem. That's why I said I'm going to put a mirror here. And maybe it's a joke I told. Maybe it's something I said. Maybe, you know, because I don't have a filter. You guys know that. I've been here 31 years. I don't have a filter. I say what comes across my mind, which is not always good. Right? You need to have a, sometimes I don't, right? And my personality is bent to where I say what's on my mind, bam, and I can say, well, at least you know what I'm thinking. Sometimes I can say whatever, but it's not always good. But sometimes I go home and I say stupid stuff, and I come to terms with that a long time ago, right? I hope you did, and I can say stupid stuff. That doesn't bother me anymore. But what bothers me is that I don't want to ever say any erroneous stuff. You see, that would destroy me because of that's poison. And God says through James that those who teach will be judged much more strict. And so one way that we spew poison is when we misinterpret God's word. And so be very careful what you say about God's word and what the Bible says, and make very sure, because it'd be poisonous. So that's one way. But another way we spew poison with our words is what we say to other people. Right? I mean, you remember the good old nursery rhyme, or you said it when you was a kid. Maybe you say it to your kids, and I hope today you don't ever say that again. As you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. You remember that? One of the biggest lies you ever told your kids, wasn't it? I mean, really, sticks and stones may break my bones. Listen, I've been hit by sticks. I've been hit with stones. I've been hit with fists. I've been hit with everything. And they leave bruises and marks, but they don't hurt near as bad nor leave any kind of lasting mark that a word will leave. Listen, I've been hit with sticks, and it didn't make me, you know, I've been hit with a belt. I've been hit with a lot of things, and it didn't make me go, oh, you know, I have all these emotional problems. But let me tell you something, man, words do. Words can destroy. Right? I mean, words have power, and they can destroy, and we've all felt it. We've all been inflicted by hurtful gossip. Every one of us have been wounded by gossip that's been told about us. But here's the thing. Well, man, we've all wounded other people with some juicy news, probably, by spreading some juicy news. We've all been hurt by lies. When someone lies to us, and, you know, that's one of the things, man. And, you know, that's one of the things that is my pet peeve. It's one of my values, right? I would rather, and this might be one of those stupid things I say, I don't know, but I'd rather for you to come up and hit me in the nose. Don't try it. I'd rather for you to come up and hit me in the nose than to lie to me. If you hit me in the nose, I promise, we'll get in a fight right out in the hallway. It'll be on the news, but I'll forgive you, and we can be best buddies and go to lunch tomorrow. You lie to me, and man, it will take forever to develop that trust back. See, but we've all been hurt by lies. We've all probably told something that's been exaggerated a little bit. We've all been hurt. We've all hurt. You know, we've all been hurt by the words of a dad or a husband or a boss, and we've all hurt people with careless words. You see, that's the power of words, and it's the poison that we can spew in the way we talk to other people. Some of the world's absolute most venomous and poisonous things, deadly, are creatures that are tiny. I mean, tiny spiders. You know, we have two poisonous spiders in Tennessee, and we have two poisonous spiders. We have the brown recluse, and we have the black widow, and we have, you know, a few poisonous snakes, you know, a rattlesnake and a copperhead. We do have some cotton mouths or water snakes, whatever, but that's about it in the poisonous snake department. And, you know, my friends from Belgium, when I go to Brussels, they would say always like, you have poisonous snakes and poisonous spiders. You know, Belgium has zero poisonous snakes and zero poisonous spiders. So that's enough for me to move there almost, right? Because I hate snakes. They're tiny. Yeah, they can bring down an elephant. They can bring down a horse. They can bring down the most largest animals with their tiny. James says, hey, add your tongue to those tiny creatures that can bring down your life. They can bring down your marriage. They can bring down your friendships and relationships. Add your tongue, because it can spew poison that's deadly. You see, our tongue is very powerful. There's power in our tongue, but there can also be poison in our tongue. But just as there's poison, there's also great potential with our tongue. great potential. James chapter 3, verses 9 and 10 say this. With it, our tongue, we bless our Lord. We bless our Lord and Father. And with it, we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth comes blessing and curse. Man, we talked about how the tongue has great power to do harm, and really, that's not a point that needs to be belabored because we all have felt that, right? We don't think about how we give it sometimes, but we all think about how we felt it. And so we know the poison that comes with it. It has power to do great harm, but you also know the power it does to do great good. You know the power, the potential, and the tongue to literally, man, I mean, warm the life of somebody. That spark that can burn your life down can be the fire that warms someone's life in a word of encouragement. Man, it has so much power to do good. It has so much power and so much potential to bless. And one of the greatest things that you can do with your tongue is, as he says, bless God. As James says, we can bless God, curse people. We can bless God with our tongue. That's one of the greatest things you can do. Why? Because when you bless God, everything in your life changes. When you praise God, everything, it changes everything, even how you speak to other people. That's why what you did today, as Michael said a moment ago, what you did today was so important in joining together to corporately bless God. That's why we sing. We don't sing as filler. We don't sing to get you warmed up, or to get you awake. It's not something that we do until we get to the main core. Singing is vital. Singing is biblical. Singing is something that established by God for God's people to do together. Right now, I don't sing too much privately if anybody's around because I'm not a good singer. Right? I mean, that's not anything God gave me the ability to do or the gifts to do or the talent. But when I get together corporately, I do sing because I'm commanded by God. Why? Because it's not just about me. It's not like I come in and go, well, man, I mean, you know, I don't feel like it or I don't get anything. I promise you, here's what I've learned out of all the years that I've pastored. If somebody says, I didn't get anything out of worship, I promise it's because you didn't put anything into it. I promise that because if you don't put anything in, you're not gonna get anything out. And that's what people do is when we come, because when we praise God, man, when we praise God, you can't help but be changed. Because when you praise God, when we're singing about how awesome and sovereign and glorious God is, man, my perspective. When I begin to sing about all that God's done and I'm reminded about all that God has done and what we see in the Old Testament when God would do something amazing, like bring them across the Red Sea, Miriam breaks out in song to thank God for what he's done. And when I remember about what God's done in my life as I'm singing, wow, it's like it changes me, right? But I'm not just only singing to God to remember what he's done and to remember and focus on who he is. I'm singing to you. Did you realize that? The Bible says we sing to each other hymns and songs and spiritual songs. We sing over each other. We sing to each other, and it encourages the brother. It encourages the brother. Sometimes I come to church, folks, and sometimes life's been so heavy for me at times, like it has been for you. I can't sing, to be honest. That's just the way life is sometimes, right? And you sing for me, and I sing for you when you can't. And it blesses me. You see, that's the power of the words in our songs corporately. That's why we sing. That's why we want you to sing. That's why we challenge you to sing. Not just because, man, we thought it's a good idea. It's because God did, right? And so we bless God, and we bless God. Man, we begin to change. It changes our words. And then here's what happens. Not only do we bless God in our song, but we bless God and praise God in the things we say about God to other people, not just to God, the things we say to God, but about God to other people. Sharing our testimony, right? I mean, teaching a class, leading a Bible study, speaking up in a Bible study, we can bless God. That changes us. Sharing the gospel, that's one of the greatest things that you can do with your tongue, because when you share the gospel, you are sharing life. That's why our motto is find life, live sent. We exist to help people find life in Christ and live sent in the world, because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He's the only way to life. I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly. He's not the only way just for your heart to beat, but for you to really live. And so when you share the gospel, you are sharing life. That's one of the greatest things you can do with your words, to bless God and also to bless other people. Man, you know as well as I do that the pain we talked about that is caused by our tongue when we speak careless words. And I'm the king. I'm the chief of all sinners, as Paul says, when it comes to that sometimes. But we also can do great, great, great good. Man, I've been hurt and wounded by words. But man, I've been so greatly encouraged by people's words. Man, there have been times when people have spoken words to me that made me want to quit, but there have been times when I wanted to quit that people spoke words to me that made me hang in. You see, I've been uplifted by people's words. I've been given life by people's words. That's the power of words. That's the power of words. And here, let me read you a few Bible verses. A few verses from the book of wisdom, one of the books of wisdom, the book of Proverbs, that is just amazing. And then also one from Ephesians. Proverbs 15:4 says, a gentle tongue is a tree of life. Gentle tongue. Man, it gives life to people. That's what the writer of the Proverbs says. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death is there. We can speak death to people and what we say and how we say it, or we can speak life to people. Proverbs 12:18, there is one whose rash words are like sword thrust. Swords, Alex. There's one, I'm sorry, I went into a Saturday Night Live skit. I saw the word swords and I thought it's Saturday Night Live, I'm sorry. There's one whose rash words are like sword thrusts. Sword thrusts. Man, I've been the one thrusting that sword, haven't you? I mean, I've been the one that's just thrusting that sword. And when you thrust a sword, man, you're causing pain. You're inflicting wounds. That's what James says. Our words do sometimes. They're like sword thrusts. They just stab. But only such as good, I'm sorry, like sword thrusts. But the tongue of the wise brings healing. Your words are either gonna cut people or they're gonna heal people, right? Ephesians 4, Paul says, let no corrupt talk come out of your mouth, but only such as good for building up as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those that hear. Man, these are a sampling. There are so many words that I looked up that I could have put down, but I said, man, I can go on. All I could have done was read scripture, which would have been the best message today about passages on the tongue, to be quite honest. I mean, if you read the book of Proverbs is like, it's not developed thoughts. What it is, it's just bullets of truth. Bam. A gentle tongue turns away wrath. Bam. I mean, you know, but if you look at all of Proverbs, you begin to see themes, and there's bullets of truth all through it, but there's some common bullets that is all through it. I mean, you begin to look at themes, and one, he talks about adultery. He talks about men staying faithful and how that's a deceptive thing and how it destroys and yada, yada, yada. He talks about that. He talks about laziness. You know, the writers of the Proverbs talk about laziness. That's a key thing about being lazy. And one of the key things is your tongue, man, it's very powerful, your tongue. And so when we read scripture, the greatest favor, here's what we can know from God's word. The greatest thing, that favor that you can do for yourself is to tame your tongue. But there's a twist in that. If you've got a Bible, I hope you do. If you don't have a Bible, we'll give you one, by the way. But in most Bibles, they have headings. God's word, the Bible, is inspired by God. It is absolutely you know, it is inspired by God. It's without error, yada, yada. But, you know, we put in, man come in, and we put in translators, the Bible verses, the breaks. We put in the headings and all those kind of things, right? We did that. I mean, Paul didn't sit down and write, you know, Romans 1, chapter 1, verse 1. You know, he didn't do that. We put those in. And so where the breaks are, that's on man. And the headings, sometimes they're good and sometimes they're not, to be quite honest, right? And like this one's Taming the Tongue. I don't know if that's a great heading. Depends on how you look at it, I guess. Because I've said the greatest thing you can do is tame your tongue. And the heading, and maybe in your Bible to this passage above chapter 3 is, or right below, tame the tongue. Taming the tongue. Sounds great, but here's the problem with that. That's the greatest favor you can do, but here's what James says. You can't do it. It's impossible. What? Here's what he said. You can't do it. James 3, verses 7 and 8 says, for every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. Now, God's word said it, so I believe it. All right? And so here's what he says. He says, we can tame animals. Think about all the animals we've tamed. I talked about horses. Man, we can tame massive horses. We can train them to jump. We can train them to jump. We can train them to rodeo. We can train them to do a lot of different kind of things. That's amazing. We can train whales. We can train tigers. We can train dogs. We can train animals. But you cannot tame your tongue. That's what James says. You can't tame it. You can't do it through behavior modification. When I think about taming a tongue, I think about this. I'm going to do a flashback here. Some of you would know this, and some of the young folk in here. But this good old movie that I loved, Smokey and the Bandit. Y'all remember Smokey and the Bandit? Man, old Jackie Gleason in there. He would get all so fired up, and when he'd get fired up, he'd go home. You know, he's learning these techniques where he could modify his behavior, and that worked until it got just a little. The pressure hit, and then his tongue. Oh Lord, you don't want to hear what his tongue said. Don't go watch the movie. You've already watched it, probably. His tongue, man, his tongue was terrible. You cannot tame your tongue. You can modify your behavior, but when pressure comes on, it's gonna let loose. My tongue gets out of its cage. You can't tame your tongue. So why did James tell us this? Is it like he's dangling a carrot, like, oh, you can't get it, you know? I mean, what's he doing? Why did he tell us to tame our tongue, but then he says, you can't tame your tongue? Why does he tell us all this about the, you can't tame it? Why? Because you can't. His point's not to dangle a carrot that you can never reach. His point is to say your tongue needs to be tamed and you can never do it, but Jesus can. Jesus is called the Word of God. Did you know that? In the beginning was the Word, John 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were made, was made through him. Nothing was made. Listen, Jesus is the Word of God, which means the living revelation. Word means revelation. Jesus is the living revelation. The Bible's the written revelation. He's the Word of God. And so here's the only way your words will ever be changed. If you let the Word change your words, that's it. You let the Word change your words. In other words, you allow the Spirit to begin to control your tongue. It's called spiritual maturity, progressive sanctification. You become more like Jesus. The only way your tongue will ever be tamed is if Jesus is the one who changed it. The Word of God and the Word of life is the only thing that can change your words. It's living in submission to Christ. Now, as I said earlier, I wanted to put a mirror up here and say, okay, I'm going to preach to myself. Y'all listen if you want. Some of you probably said, no, you need to preach to me too. I hope you do, because I hope I'm not in this long, because our mouths can get us in trouble. Mine gets me in trouble sometimes, and I understand that, and our words are not sometimes careless and all this kind of stuff. And man, James, I was reading this as I was studying it, and I wanted to quit. It's one of those where I just wanted to quit studying. I wanted to quit studying and say, man, y'all just go read James 3. I wanted to quit studying it because it was just like, James was just like pummeling me. You know, he hit me with a right hook, bam. I didn't like it. But then all of a sudden, here's what he did. He hits me with a right hook, and then he picks me up and gives me a big hug of grace. Because here's what he said. When I read this, I was like, okay, I got to read this in light of what he's about to say. And I go back to this. Because remember in James 2, we just finished up last week when he talked about it like he was arguing with Paul almost, because Paul's talking about, you know, in Romans 3 specifically, but in Romans he's talking about we're saved by grace through faith. It's not of works. And James comes in and says, hey, wait a minute. It's not just, you know, it's your works. And we're talking about how, hold on a minute. He's not saying it's works and we got to be perfect and all that kind of stuff. Well, I love this because in James 3, 2, here's what he says. For all stumble in many ways. We know that. For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle his whole body. He's not saying you can be perfect in what you say. It's the opposite. He's saying if you thought you could bridle your tongue, you could bridle your whole body because your tongue's the most powerful thing in your body. He says, so nobody can be perfect. So here's what I want you to understand. Today, many of you, like me, you come and your words are careless sometimes, and our tongues we spew poison sometimes with our tongues, man, with how we say, with what we speak. It's not just what I say. Most of the time, what I say can be pretty good, but lots of times how I say it doesn't help people to receive it, right? Whether it's my wife or my kids, whether it's my friend, staff, whether, you know, it's how we say it. We all understand that, and we all say, man, I would love to go back and say things different to my sons and to my kids. And I would love to say things different to my wife. We all go back and would like to say that, and man, that's good conviction. But here's what James says, hey, look, no one's perfect. He doesn't say that to say whatever you want to say. It's not a license for you to say whatever you want to say. He says, look, no one's perfect, but it's never too late. It's never too late for God's grace. It's never too late for God's grace to do something amazing in your life and with your tongue. And so today, the challenge is for you to allow the Holy Spirit to begin to change your words, because only the word can change your words. So that's the challenge for today. When you go home this week, for you to, in your quiet time, begin to say, God, change my words. Help my words to, number one, be pleasing to you. Help them to bless you. And help them to bless other people. I know I'm not perfect. Help my words to bless you and bless other people. Begin to write down, man, how you speak to your kids. Do you bless them? Do you curse them? A little bit of both, probably. Hopefully, a whole lot of more one than the other. About how you speak to your wife. Do you bless or do you curse? A little bit of both, probably. Hopefully, more than one to the other. Begin to think about and pray about and then say, God, I can't get a control of this. James told me that. Thank you for letting me know that this is a problem. I want to trust you to do it. So my challenge to you is begin this week to do things that lets the Lord begin to change the things that the way that you speak to him, to people, that our words would be more careful than careless. That's my challenge. Here's what we're going to do today. We typically end by me praying a prayer and giving you an opportunity to maybe come down. Here's what we're going to do today. I'm just not going to pray a prayer. We're all going to pray a prayer together, a corporate prayer. I love corporate prayers. We're all going to pray a corporate prayer together about our tongue, asking God to help our tongue be a blessing and not a curse, asking God to help our tongue be careful and not careless. So we're all going to pray that prayer, and then Michael's going to come, and he's going to lead us just together to sing together, and when he's done, you can leave. And during that time, if you want to talk to anyone about anything, you can come out. We're out today. Maybe we talk about the tongue, and the Holy Spirit said, man, I want your heart. And that's the Holy Spirit. He does his bidding and his will no matter what I'm preaching, right? And so if the Holy Spirit's speaking to you and you say, man, I need to talk to somebody about Jesus, we're here to talk to you, to help you to understand. Online, if you'll text the word Jesus to the number on the screen, man, that will, we will be back in touch with you quickly to help you understand what to do. Maybe you need to come and pray with somebody, talk with someone about your tongue, about somebody's tongue and how it's inflicted you and how you need to get over it, how you need to forgive, all these kind of things, any kind of these kind of things, whatever the Holy Spirit's leading you to do, we hope you do. So let's all stand right now. Michael will lead us after we pray this prayer together. Let's pray this corporate prayer together as it pops up on the screen, and then let's sing and let the Spirit do what he wills in our life. Oh, merciful God, we ask you for your mercy's sake to deliver us from unrighteous lips and deceitful tongues. Give us the grace to live and speak in such a way that our adversaries will be put to shame when they try to slander or speak evil of us. We also pray that those who have misused their words through gossip, slander, loose talk, or false accusations may from now on speak with new tongues, praising you and your holy name. Talk of your holy scriptures, meditating on them day and night. May we not only bless our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, but our enemies as well, that we may praise your holy name. Go to the last. Holy Spirit, help us to praise your holy name with all of our heart, mind, and tongue to glorify you, our Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's all sing, and you do whatever the Holy Spirit leads you to do in this time.